نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, and there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scatter from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. We continue with the third class of Sifatul Jalis al-Salihi wal-Jalis al-Su, or characteristics of the righteous sitting companion and the evil sitting companion. We come to the chapter of the Shaykh Amr Abdul Mun'im Salim Hafadahullah, Al-Uzlatu Khayrun Min Jalis al-Su. If I'm correct in reading that chapter, isolation or seclusion is better than the evil sitting companion. My brother Muslim, in our present times, there is a strong need for the presence of the righteous sitting companion, the one who has been mentioned in the Sunnah, his examples and his characteristics, or his description and his characteristic. The one who we have mentioned some of his characteristics, or that which a person should be described with if he would be called the righteous sitting companion. And the need to be with him or to find him now, and actually trying to obtain this righteous sitting companion, is more difficult to find or then to acquire than precious gold. Because this time of ours, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us about, from the times of much fitan and the times where little good is around. And he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, yushiku an yakuna khayru malil muslimi ghanaman yatba'u biha shaghaf al-jibali wa mawaqi al-qatri yafirru bidinihi min al-fitani. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, collected by Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad and al-Bukhari and Abu Dawud and Nasa'i ibn Majah, from the narration of Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Sa'sa'a, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, there will soon come the time where the best wealth of a Muslim is sheep, that he's following it at the top of the mountains and in the valleys. he's running for his deen from the fitna, or he's running to save his deen from the fitna, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says by this hadith. And in light of that, he alayhi salatu wasalam has encouraged us to isolation or seclusion from having so many companions, from which there is no good behind having them, because of the abundance of the evil sitting companions during these last times or these latter years. On the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, إذا رأيتم الناس قد مرجت عهودهم وخفت أماناتهم وكانوا هكذا وشبك بين أصابعه قال فقمت إليه فقلت كيف أفعل عند ذلك جعلني الله فداك قال إلزم بيتك واملك عليك لسانك وخذ بما تعرف ودع ما تنكر وعليك بأمر خاصة نفسك ودع عنك أمر العامة. Collected by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Nasa'i and Al-Hakim. And the Shaykh, he says that the chain is Hassan or authentic. This is on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when you see the people, قَدْ مَرِجَتْ عُهُودُهُمْ, I forgot what that means, and the trusts are not kept, and the people are like this, and then he put his fingers together sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I asked him, so what should we do if we find ourselves and that situation? And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hang close to the house and go, hold back your tongue and do what you know is right and leave off what you oppose or what you view is wrong. And I advise you with the affair of yourself and leave off the affair of the masses. The Shaykh Amr hafadahullah, he says, so our noble Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us of what will take place of corruption and tests and trials in these last times from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he has guided us, and he is the truthful advisor sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to what is an obligation for us to hold on to from the affairs that will save us from these tests and trials and calamities. And they are holding close to the house. This means not to mix with the people too much, so that you don't be affected by their evil companionship and their bad character. Two, to be silent, and that is to leave off talking so much. Because indeed a person will speak with a word, he doesn't pay attention to what he's really saying, and that word will lead him to the fire of Jahannam from the depths of 70 Kharifa, as the Prophet ﷺ informed us. Three, that he holds on to the ma'ruf, or to that which, as the Shaykh explains, to that which agrees with the deen of the Qur'an, and that which has been authentically collected from the Sunnah, and to leave off the munkar, or wrong, or everything that opposes the religion. Four, to be concerned with getting his own character and deen together, and grooming himself or educating himself upon that which has been mentioned in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah, and likewise establishing or likewise upholding that which concerns him from the affairs of his wife or husband or children or relatives, and leaving off the affair of the masses, except if his own affair is correct, then he can be concerned with them so long as there is no more fear that his own deen will be in jeopardy. And this, what we have mentioned, this shows the encouragement for seclusion and isolation, and an encouragement to leave off having so many friends. And this is what our Salaf al-Salih, Ridwanullahi alayhim, was upon. And this is what they used to encourage. At the time where they saw so much evil and many companions, and the evilness of interaction with the people, or as the Shaykh says. It's been narrated on the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, but the Shaykh, he says that this narration is mursala, and mursala is from the narrations that have not been authentically reported. At any rate, this is on the authority of Abu Dharr, and the meaning of it is, inshallah, to dictate good so that good will be written for you is better than being silent. Or instead of saying dictate, maybe I'll say to speak good and to have that written on your behalf is better for you than to be silent. And then he was silent for a little while. And then he said, to be silent is better than to speak bad. And then he was silent for a little while. And then he said, a righteous sitting companion is better than an evil sitting companion. And then he was silent for a while. And then he said, to be alone is better than having an evil sitting companion. He says, but rather they have differed pertaining to what is the recommended isolation or seclusion that we find mentioned in the authentic hadiths. And the best explanation that we have found of the description of isolation and seclusion that has been recommended is the statement of Imam Al-Khattabi rahimahullah in his book Al-Uzla. As he says, we do not intend, may Allah show His mercy on you, by seclusion that which the people have chosen or understood from seclusion, meaning to leave off the people in the salat in jama'ah and during the jumu'ah, and to leave off giving the servants their rights of spreading the salams and returning the greetings and the other necessary or in the other compulsory rights that the people have over us, and practicing the sunan and the good customs or cultures that the people have amongst themselves, or as the Shaykh intends by a statement, al-'adat. Because indeed this is not what is intended. And these rights must be upheld, or as the Shaykh is saying, so long as there isn't something that busies a person from this, or an excuse that prevents him from being able to do it. So what is meant by seclusion is to leave off having too many companions. And this extra is what is to be left off. Or as the Shaykh says by his statement, Wallahu A'lam. The Shaykh Amr Hafizahullah, he says, and so the meaning of isolation and seclusion, that which the Imams of the Salaf, may Allah be pleased with all of them, were upon, it could be mentioned in the statement of the Imam Al-Zahir Abdullah ibn Mubarak Rahimahullah. It was said to him, when you make salat with us, then you don't sit with us. Meaning after you make salat, you only make salat with us and then you leave. He said, because I go with the Sahaba and the Tabi'un. So he says, so where are the Sahaba and the Tabi'un? they did during the time of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Let me back up. Abdullah ibn Mubarak is after the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. So they ask him, after you make salat, you never hang out with us. So he said, of course, I go to be with the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. So everybody's surprised, how can you go be with people who are dead? And so they said, so where are the Sahaba and the Tabi'een? He said, I go and I take a look at my knowledge. So then I find their narrations and their deeds. So I'm looking at what I can do with that. Because all you do is backbite the people. Meaning, the Shaykh Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he's saying, alright, nowadays all we have is evil sitting companions. He's talking about 1300 years ago. If he could see these times, wallahu musta'an. Allah help us. He said, all you are bad sitting companions. So I have no other companions but the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. You said they're dead. Yes, they're dead. But the lifestyles that they live have been recorded in the books. So what I do is go and read the books and then see how they lived. See if I could do the same thing, because hanging out with you all and all you do is backbite the people is no good for me. They said that narration has some weakness in it. Wallahu al-musta'an. At any rate, Abdullah ibn Mubarak al-At, they say that he was a scholar and a mujahid. That he used to spend 6 months of the year studying and teaching Islam. And then he spent the other 6 months of the year making jihadun fi sabilillah. And this was his life, rahimahullah. That's why they call him a zahid, or one who has left the worldly affairs. And even he has a book on zuhud, rahimahullah, a book encouraging the people to leave the worldly affairs. Meaning enjoying this world of nice clothes and shoes and riding animals and houses and what have you, Allahu A'lam. The Shaykh Amr, Hafizahullah, he says, but the position that some of the Sufi groups have entertained from their seclusion, or al-khalwa, from the people, from all of the people altogether, and they're not participating in the Jumu'ah and the compulsory Salat in Jama'ah, and they're entering into what they called 40 days in seclusion, is in opposition to this deen, to this pure religion. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not command them to do that, nor was this the practice of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Imams of this deen during in every time and in every place from those who affiliate themselves with Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And with this, some of the Imams would say, as Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah, he said in his Riyad al-Salihin, or Gardens of the Righteous chapter, the virtue of intermingling with the people and being present at the Jumu'ah and the Jama'ah Salat and witnessing the good with the people and sitting with the people of knowledge and visiting the sick and being present at their funeral services and taking care of those who are in need and guiding and directing the ignorant and things like that, from which are from the beneficial affairs of the people, and enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and holding himself back from harming anyone and being patient with the harm that he gets. Or as the Imam says from his chapter. And he says, know that intermingling with the people in a manner which has been mentioned, then this is what has been chosen for us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, and likewise the Khulafa al-Rashidun and those who are after them. And this is the position of Imam al-Shafi'i and Ahmed and most of the fiqh scholars radiallahu anhu majma'in. Shaykh Amr hafadhullah, he says, so my brother Muslim, I encourage you to do what will benefit you in your worldly affairs by preserving your deen so that you preserve the good of your hereafter and so that you are successful with the Jannah of your Lord and you're saved from His punishment. And this will not be achieved by having too many friends. And this will not be achieved except by leaving off the company of too many friends and by separating yourselves from the evil sitting companions in their gatherings and being on caution and being warned against intermingling with them. And associating with them is a deadly disease or a fatal disease. It comes to the deen of a man and then it snatches his deen away. And it's sufficient for us the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, that a person is with who he loves. And the shaykh, he puts that hadith on the cover also. He says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبُ. A person is with who he loves. And I hope that Allah makes us love the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the scholars of this deen. Ameen. The Shaykh, he says, the Shaykh says, Habibullah, so let us now, my brother Muslim, take a look at some of the types of evil sitting companions and their characteristics. He says, the types of evil sitting companions. My Muslim brother, we're going to see in this section, inshallah ta'ala, the different types of evil sitting companions. Those who you will get evil and bad from having them as your companion. They will affect your deen. And you will be accused with that which they are accused of. Or you will be accused that your sitting companions are evil sitting companions. And that's sufficient enough to be a harm against you. And we consider ourselves following and establishing this chapter by showing the evil sitting companions what Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu mentioned when he said that the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about good, but I used to ask him about evil for fear that I would fall into it. My brother Muslim, indeed the first characteristic or the first type of sitting companion of which the Muslim should be cautioned and warned against sitting with and intermingling with and dealing with is the mushrik. The Shaykh Amr hafadhullah, he says, the mushrik is the one who is on other than the deen of al-Islam, either a Christian or a Jew or a Majus or a Buddhist or a Hindu. And from this chapter is the issue of al-bara, or the severing or the separating from them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there is no doubt that our loyalty and commitment and our severance is for the deen, or is from this deen, just like the heart is from the body. Meaning who we love and we associate with is just as much part of this deen as who we disassociate ourselves from. The Shaykh Amr hafadhullah, he says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us in many different places in the Qur'an the issue of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his father, separating himself from his father and his people and isolating himself from them because of their shirk or their associating of partners with Allah. As Allah, He says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ وَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدًا. Surah Al-Mumtahina, verse number 4, where Allah, He says, You have the best example for you and Ibrahim and those who are with him. They said to their people, Indeed, we are free from you and what you worship besides Allah. We disbelieve in you. And there has become clear between us and you hatred and enmity from now on until you believe in Allah alone. And Allah subhanahu, He mentions the story of Hud with his people. As He said to them, إني أشهد الله وأشهد أني بريء مما تشركون من دونه فكيدوني جميعا ثم لا تنظرون إني توكلت على الله ربي وربكم ما من دابة إلا هو آخذ بناصيتها إن ربي على صراط مستقيم. This is from Surah Al-Hud, verses 54 through 56. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Indeed, I make Allah bear witness, and I want you all to bear witness, that I'm free from what you ascribe partners in and worship besides Allah. So all of you plot against me and don't give me any respite, because indeed I rely on Allah, and He's my Lord and your Lord. And there is no creature walking except that Allah is holding his forelock. And Allah is in control of him. Indeed, my Lord is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. May He calls to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. From Surah Al-Hud, verses 54 and 56. Now, I wish I could say this too to some of the people who secretly write to me or have something to say behind my back. That I want Allah to bear witness, and I want them to bear witness that I'm free from what they attribute to me unjustly. And that I want them to keep plotting, all of them, and don't give me a chance at all, because I rely on Allah. He's my Lord and He's your Lord. And nobody has any control over anyone, but Allah is in control of all of the people, and He guides to the straight path. Meaning none of us will be guided to anything except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to. And we ask Allah, as we ask Him, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, guide us to the straight path. The Shaykh Amr hafidhahullah, he says, as we see in the story of the people in the Ashab al-Kahf, and the people of the cave. Can I see one of those Musahif? His writing is bad in this book. My Musahif is little. Jazakallah khairan. As we were reading from Surah Al-Kahf, and the Shaykh quotes from verses number 13 to verses number 16, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذَا انْشَطَطَ هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. وإذ اعتزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته ويهيئ لكم من أمره مرفقا. Well, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and we narrate to you their story in truth. Indeed, they were a group of young men who believed in their Lord, so we increased them in guidance. And وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ when they stood and they said, Our Lord, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and we worship or we call on none, no other gods beside Him. And if we did, then we would have said an atrocity. These are the people who took other gods besides Him. لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. And who is more wrong than the one who invents a lie on Allah? And if you would separate yourselves from them with seclusion and what they worship besides Allah, so you go to a cave, and your Lord will spread His mercy on you, and He will make your affairs easy for you, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I left off the translation of some of those parts that are unclear, Allah al-Musta'an. The Shaykh Amr hafadhahullah, he says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded after that the Muslims, they be different or separate themselves from the people of shirk. All of the different types of shirk and varieties, and to separate themselves from them and not to love them and not to befriend them. As Allah ta'ala, He says, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ وَبَنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ. Surah Al-Mujadilah, verse number 22, where Allah, He says, And you will not find a people believing in Allah on the last day, loving those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they are their fathers or parents and children and brothers and friends or relatives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah Al-Mujadilah, verse number 22, whereas Allah subhanahu, He says, فَعَرْضْ عَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدَ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا ذَلِكَ مَبَلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ اهْتَدَى. From Surah Al-Najm, verse number 29 and 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, So turn away from the one who has turned away from our remembrance, and he wants nothing but the life of this world. That is the extent of their knowledge. Indeed, your Lord knows best who has gone astray from his path, and he knows best who is guided. And the Shaykh Amr hafadhahullah, he says, So our distinguishing ourselves from them, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. And it's a necessity or obligation that we do so that we don't inherit a love for them and a friendship, or so that there doesn't develop a love and a friendship between them, between the Muslim and the kafir. Because these are two separate things that cannot come together. Meaning kufr and Islam are two separate things that cannot come together, or as the Shaykh intends by a statement. Especially when one of them is living a lifestyle that is pleasing to Allah, especially since one of them is living a lifestyle that Allah has chosen and is pleased with for all of His servants, and the other one is living a lifestyle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned all of His servants from. So likewise, just as the Muslim sits with the kafir, and that is some harm for the aqidah or the belief of the Muslim from one angle, And also, on the other hand, the kafir might present some issues that are confusing, of which the Muslim has no knowledge to refute it, and it harms him thereby, or as the Shaykh intends by a statement. The Shaykh Amr Hafizahullah, he says, so now let's take a look at the second type of evil sitting companion, and he is the person of bid'ah. The Shaykh Amr Hafizahullah, he says, from the beginning we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us from inventing a bid'ah in this deen. As Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. From Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 3. Where Allah Ta'ala, He says, follow that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah, and don't follow anyone other than that as friends and protectors. Little is it that they are reminded. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He says, in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 153, and this is my path, the straight path, follow it, and don't follow other paths. They will lead you from His path. That is what He advises you with, so that perhaps you would have taqwa. And He says, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. From the hadith of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi ibn Majah. And it's sahih, where the Messenger ﷺ, he said, be aware of the newly invented matters in the deen, because every newly invented matter is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain. And he says, ﷺ, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. From the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood ibn Majah, where the Messenger ﷺ, he said, and whoever invents something in this affair of ours, meaning in this deen of ours, that which is not from it, then it is rejected. So bid'ah, it stems from things that are not clear. And its basis is pure logic. And it refutes or it opposes explicit and clear texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. And there is no doubt that the one who sits with the mubtadir, or the person who practices bid'ah knowingly and willingly and persistently, that he sets himself up for the evil of being affected by the evil of that person's bid'ah. And if he's not affected by the bid'ah altogether by accepting it, then it would at least place a doubt in him and what he believes in, because of the doubts that the person of bid'ah uses to base his deen, or as the Shaykh intends by a statement. And he says, Hafizahullah, and it was the habit or the way of our righteous salaf that they did not sit with the people of bid'ah. And they used to leave off narrating on them until they died, then they would narrate on them. And all of that was to shut down their bid'ah and to turn away from the evil of it. And also, that if you sit with the people of bid'ah, then you make the people of bid'ah, you make their gatherings bigger, so that the one who does not know, he thinks that this is the gathering of the people of righteousness and the people of deen and the people of the correct aqidah. So he accepts what they say. And then he follows their lead. And then he's affected by the evil bid'ah of the mubtadi'. And Al-Hasan and Ibn Sirin, because of that, they said, do not sit with the people of bid'ah and do not argue with them and don't listen to them. This is from a Darimi, and this is authentic. And it's been authentically reported on Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that he used to not give the salams to them, but he used to free himself from them. And Nafir, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, he said that a man came and said, indeed so and so gives you the salams. He said, it has come to me that he innovates. And if he does, then don't give him my salams. And this is authentically collected by Darimi. And in the first hadith of Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of Yahya ibn Ya'mar, he said, the first person who disbelieved in Qadr was in Basra. He was Ma'bad al-Juhani. So me and Hamid ibn Abdurrahman al-Humayri, we were going out to perform Hajj or Umrah. So I said, if only we can meet someone from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can ask them about what they are saying as far as their disbelief in the Qadr. So there we found ourselves with Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu entering the masjid. So me and my sahabi, we went with him. One of us was on the right of him and the other was on the left of him. And I thought that my companion would handle the speech. I thought my companion would give the lead to me. So I said, Abu Abdurrahman, indeed, some people from amongst us, they read the Qur'an, and they have knowledge of this deen. And he mentioned their affair, and he said that they disbelieve in the Qadr, or they say that there's no divine predestination, and that things take place as they take place. He said, if you meet them, and then inform them that I am free from them, and that they are free from me. And this is what Abdullah ibn Umar swears by. And if one of them, would give the amount of Uhud in gold as charity, then Allah would not accept it from them until they believe in Qadr. And this is in the hadith of Sahih Muslim. So look, my brother Muslim, at this clear severance and separation from the people of bid'ah. And this is in opposition to what we see today from being good and kind to the people of bid'ah and being near to them and loving them. But as far as the third type of people from the types of people of bid'ah, then they are those who argue and debate about the deen. And we'll pick up with that next week, inshallah ta'ala. We want to end here, except that I want to add a little clarification, and especially in light of the recent affairs. And that is that the position that the Shaykh has established about the people of bid'ah, of not being kind to them, and not sitting with them, and not loving them, and not giving the salams with them, and not sitting with them, and not encouraging people to sit with them, then this is the truth. And this is what is based in Allah's book and from the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we believe in. And this is the way that we follow. And this is the way of our Salaf al-Salih from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahab and the Tabi'un and the scholars of this deen and the people who follow their way up till now. Except that we have unfortunately ignorant people from amongst us who read Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and claim to follow the way of the scholars, except that they don't understand. The people of bid'ah, if they're going to be the people of bid'ah, then they are going to be described like the people are described here in this narration of Abdullah ibn Umar. that there were people of knowledge who knew better. There are people of knowledge who know better. And then they disbelieve in what is known from this deen, from clear text, from the Qur'an and the sunnah. As was this case with the people who used to read the Qur'an and understand the knowledge, except that they said that there was no belief in the qadr. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he freed himself from them going and cutting off and not giving the salams and interacting with the masses of the Muslims. The people of bid'ah are the people of knowledge. The people who have knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they reject that which is correct of this deen after they should know better. May Allah put us on clarity of our deen. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there are any comments or questions on what's been presented today. If so, we'll take a couple minutes for that, inshallah ta'ala. Na'am. The issue of boycotting the mubtadi', as we were trying to explain here, is you have to see who is the mubtadi' first. You have a whole bunch of Muslims doing all kind of stuff. Who is the mubtadi'? The mubtadi' is the person of knowledge who knows the Quran and the Sunnah and rejects what's clear from this deen. And after he knows better, he continues in that. And he calls to what's wrong, he's going to be considered from the people of bid'ah. And those bid'ahs are known to us, walhamdulillah, like the bid'ah of qadr. The people say who they disbelieve in the qadr, and there are people right now today who disbelieve in the qadr. Which we have clearly in how many ayat and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our little children know that it's belief in the qadr. So the people who disbelieve in the Qadr from the people of knowledge, they are the people of deviance. The people who followed the way of the Khawarij by making the masses of the Muslims disbelievers because of sins that they committed and opposing and going against the rulers, which was the way of the Khawarij. Whoever follows their way, there were people of knowledge who knew. And the Sahaba debated with them and made clear to them. And they continued anyway. And because of it, they were labeled as the people of bid'ah and they went away. Or like the people of the other generations who followed Jahm. And the people who follow the way of the Mu'tazila. And they're denying names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're from the people of knowledge, who the deen has been made clear to them with ayat and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they persisted in going in the wrong direction after things were made clear. Then those people are called the people of bid'ah. But what we are confused with is what the masses of the ignorant Muslims, wallahu musta'an, have attributed to the people of knowledge, and the people of knowledge are free from what the people are doing here. And the people of knowledge, they're the people of knowledge of the Kitab and the Sunnah. And they're not here witnessing what the people are doing. And I spoke, unfortunately, with one or two of them, and they made it clear that their actions is not what the ulama have told them to do. But this is what we understand from the direction of what the ulama are saying about whatever is going on. So the people, what they are doing is making people of bid'ah who are not people of bid'ah, by making the masses of the Muslims people of bid'ah. And this was the way that the Khawarij was just making the masses of the Muslims affected by one thing or another, like the brothers and their bid'ah, and they should ask the Shaykh, is this a bid'ah or not? Because the ulama, they spoke about it. To ask somebody, who you with? Who you with? Who you with? That question like that is a bid'ah. Because a person is a Muslim, is down with the Kitab and the Sunnah until he expresses that he's down with other than the Kitab and the Sunnah. And your question, who he with, is a bid'ah. Because the Muslims have gone from the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to now. And the Muslims don't ask you, is you with, is you with, is you with, is you with? Unless something is clear from you. Like the lady asks Aisha radiallahu anha. When we women are on our menstrual cycles, and we don't make salat and fast, and we don't fast, do we make up that salat? And that was the position of the Khawarij, that they used to make up the salat, the women, when they were on their menstrual cycles. So Aisha asked her, are you a hururiya? Meaning, are you down with the Khawarij? Because that's what they about. And if that's what you're trying to get with, we ain't going there. And then when she find out that the lady's not with that, then they just handle her case. But you don't just come up and ask a Muslim, oh, you, what you with? You with that? You with this? You with that? And then divide and separate yourselves with the Muslims over that. Wallahu musta'an. And if that was the case, then there would be an ayah to teach us that, or hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we have examples here that we just quoted from the Kitab and the Sunnah. The other issue is that issues of differencing of an opinion from the people of knowledge. One person establishes this, and another person establishes that. He sees it to be true based on what his proofs and evidences led him to. Even if what he did was wrong, and some of the ulama called it bid'ah, then he thought it was correct, so it's established. For example, Ibn Sunni has a book on dhikr and dua. Ibn Sunni is his nickname, the son of the Sunnah, because he's known for his adherence to the Sunnah. That's why I want to use him as an example, and I could have used other people of hadith. But I want to use someone that the scholars name him Ibn Sunni because of his adherence to the Sunnah. He has in his book on dhikr and dua, chapter wiping over your face after dua. I'm not quoting the exact meaning of, it's the meaning of his chapter. And he brings the hadith that when you finish making dua, you wipe over your face. Others from the ulama, they say wiping over your face after you make dua is a bid'ah. Why they say it's a bid'ah? They say because there's no hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's been authentically reported on him. There's the hadith, but it's not authentically reported. If it's not authentically reported, it means the Prophet didn't say it. If the Prophet ﷺ didn't say it or do it, then it's not from Islam. If it's not from Islam, and it's a way to worship Allah and get closer to Him, that's not been prescribed by Him in His book or from the Sunnah of His Prophet ﷺ, then it's a bid'ah. Therefore, that act is a bid'ah. Is that Ibn Sunni a mubtadi'? So the brothers got into the issue that it's issues of differences of an opinion. So one person has a position, they know someone who has more knowledge than him, they go to him, they say that's his position, his opinion, and then they say, see, he think he know better than him. See him? He thinks he knows better than him. That shows you he's off it, he don't follow the scholars, he's practicing what's not correct. This stuff is foolishness from the people who don't understand the affairs of the Muslims, wallahu musta'an. And this was in a case with an example of some of the brothers who did this to me some years ago, because in the Adhan al-Fajr, we don't say, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. And this is the position of Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, the late scholar and imam of Ahlul Sunnah of our times. And it was his position that you say, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm in the Adhan al-Fajr, which is the second Adhan when the time comes in. So the brothers, they ask me, so you saying you know more than Ibn Baz? No. I don't know more than Ibn Baz. How are you going to ask me, do I know more than Ibn Baz? Ibn Baz was my sheikh, walhamdulillah. I met him, learned from him, and benefited from him. Do I know as much as him? No. So you saying Ibn Baz is wrong? I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that this position is the one I'm with. And people don't hear me, and this is not from the etiquette of the students of knowledge, to be quick to say the Shaykh is wrong or that scholar is wrong. Even when we differ from them, we don't come and say the Shaykh is wrong. We say the Shaykh says this, but we believe this to be correct. And this is the etiquette that we have with our people of knowledge, not saying that he's wrong, except we say that this position is more correct. No, what you're saying is you know more than the Shaykh. And you're saying the Shaykh wrong, and this and that. See, you don't follow the scholars. And this isn't right, as there's a difference of an opinion in this issue, past and present. And this was one of the questions that I asked. If somebody else would have went to Shaykh Muqbil and say, Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah, he says that there's no salatu khaynun min an-nawm in the adhan al-fajr. Shaykh Muqbil said, I know. He said, I know. But you wouldn't go to him because you know that's his position. So what they do is find out the different positions. The whichever one we have that's different than that Shaykh, they go to him. Then when we have one that's different to that Shaykh, then they go to him. Then they say, see you against that scholar, see you against that scholar, see you against that scholar, see you against that scholar. Nobody agrees with everyone. And how can you agree with everyone who has differences of an opinion? And we have mentioned that our Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah, that he wrote the introduction to one of his students' book, Shaykh Usam al-Qusi, who said that you should say Salatu Khayran min an-Nawm. And the Shaykh does not agree with him on that, but he still said that his book was a good work, meaning that he took his positions based on what he thought to be correct from the Sunnah, even if we think that other than what he presented is wrong. Nowadays what the brothers do, they take is, you astray, or you don't follow the scholars, or you wrong, and they use that as a means to go against you because of the issues of ijtihad, meaning where the scholars differ. The scholars have differed on many issues, and on those issues we follow what we see to be correct and closest to Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that the people are arguing and fighting over that. As we saw the issue with the people arguing and fighting over the issue of Masjid Dirar, is it Masjid Dirar or not, or whatever. Man, the ayat clear as a, and the sun is in the sky in Allah's book, the characteristics of it have been mentioned in the kitab and the sunnah. If someone sees something to be that way, alhamdulillah, if someone sees it to be other than that, mashallah. But it's not an issue to determine if someone on it or off it, which is our case. Wallahu musta'an. Islam is clear, alhamdulillah. And the actions of the Muslims unfortunately brings uncertainties to our minds from time to time because of the way that people act. Islam is based on the Kitab and the Sunnah. And the people of knowledge, who are the inheritors of the Prophets, meaning they inherited what the Prophets had, which is revelation. Meaning that they are the most knowledgeable people of revelation. Not that the people of knowledge have taken the place of the prophets and messengers, meaning they get revelation. No. But they are the most knowledgeable ones of revelation. But even though they're the most knowledgeable ones from amongst us of revelation, they're human beings, and revelation was not revealed to them, and they're right on some issues and wrong on others. And as Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said, everyone, we accept some what he says, and we reject others except the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no person that you accept everything from except the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Nah. I don't know, are we clear? Yes. No. No. The brother, he's saying, okay, we're Muslims, we're commanded to give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, to call the Jews and Christians to Islam. How are you going to call them to Islam if you don't sit with them? Sitting, but we mean the sitting companion, meaning the one that you take as a friend and the one that you spend your time with, that you hang out with, that you talk and you socialize and you enjoy yourself with. This is what is meant by the sitting companion. as far as interaction with people, then we interact on buying and selling, and we interact with our neighbors, and we interact with the people that we come in contact on the street, and we interact with people in the marketplace. And this interaction is not taking someone as a sitting companion. And in this type of interaction is where we take advantage of giving the da'wah. Like we see our neighbors regularly, and we call them to Islam. Or we work with people, and then we might get a break or whatever at lunchtime, whatever, to take advantage of that time to call someone to Islam. But we don't hang out with them at their cookouts and their parties and what have you, because then that is the acceptance of the da'wah. The da'wah is a period of dialogue or monologue or calling them to this religion. And there's a period where people are listening to what's being said and weighing out before they accept it. And then there comes the time of accepting or rejecting. If they accept the da'wah, they become Muslims, alhamdulillah, and everything is clear. If they reject it, we're not going to hang out with them. If they give us an opportunity to present the message to them, we're going to. If not, we're not going to hang out. I always to give another example to make it a little easier and clearer to us. We call everyone to Islam. But we're not going to go to the drug house, to the bar. We're not going to go and hang out in front of the banks where the people are involved in riba or the bonds and what have you, and make that our whole place where we hang out in order that we say we're calling people to Islam. Now, or that we're giving da'wah. Or as like some of the brothers used to say, don't blame me for having her as my girlfriend. I'm giving her da'wah. Nah. Don't blame me. I'm giving her da'wah. What you, astaghfirullah? Nah, I'm giving her da'wah. Nah. Giving da'wah is an issue. And taking someone as a sitting companion is a farther issue than that. Nah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I don't know if there was anything else. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.